Hang on. Don't go anywhere. I think we got somebody about to be baptized in the water. Is Brother Cliff back there? And what an awesome song to go down to the water in. Then freedom. Because it's when you go down in the water in the name of Jesus that all your sins are washed away. It's where the blood of Jesus is applied. And you become a new creature, a new creation. The old man passes away. There's a new man walking in my shoes. So if that's about to happen in the next few minutes, we'll go ahead and just give God just a little bit more praise in the house. So why don't we just go ahead and do that? Come on, let's give God some praise and worship. Do you remember the night you went down in the water in the precious name of Jesus? And all your sins were washed away?
Lift your hands to the Father and say,
no more shackles. No more chains. No more bondage. If you remember the night that God set you free, give him some praise in the house. Give him some glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're excited tonight to have Brother Tim Haddon in the house. Glad his precious wife and one of their sons is here with him tonight. This is a precious family in the kingdom of God. You want to remember to lift them up in prayers, but we want him to come right now and take his liberty, brother. And if they come and do a baptismal, just go ahead and do what you feel in the Holy Ghost. But we're excited he's here tonight. Thankful for the word he brought this morning, straight from the throne room of God for this church. And we just want him to come and take his liberty. Just extend your hands towards him right now. Pray God's anointing, blessing, and strength upon him and his family. Brother, just come take your liberty in the house.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. If they baptize behind me, just start clapping your hands or something. Let me know something's going on behind me. I'll notice some of you, if everybody starts paying attention, then I'll know something's going on back there. Honor to be here tonight. I feel very comfortable tonight. Feel like in the morning the audition's over. And, you know, first time to preach somewhere and the pastor's not there. And I started thinking, let's see, first time pastor's not there. First time to preach here. And then I preached something brand new. Everything was stacked against us. And yet I know that the Lord is here. And as long as God is among us, anything is possible. Hallelujah. I couldn't help but think as they were singing, waiting for the baptism, and I know it's kind of humorous, but if there were 15 of them, you guys would really sing. You'd be up here a long time. But I love just the spontaneity of just following the Holy Ghost, and when somebody's ready to go in the water, you just do it. We've gotten so traditional in Pentecost that everything's got to have a certain structure and a certain order. You know, I just sometimes feel like, you know what? Philip's there with the Ethiopian eunuch, and he said, hey, there's water. He didn't say, you know what? What's a good day for you? because I want it to match my schedule. I want it to work with what I'm doing. But instead he said, hey, there's water. Why don't we just go ahead and do it? Amen. Give honor to your pastor in their absence. Love them dearly. Amen. I already know that everybody here is worshipers, but I'm going to promise you this, and nobody in this place can out worship Barry Sutton. Hallelujah. I told him, we sat over dinner the other day, and I said, if I could just for 5 minutes just dance like you dance, man, what a great thing it would be. I've got about 30 seconds, and then I'm heaving and breathing hard. So, amen. Turn to your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1. I want to talk to you tonight. I know it's been already a lot of worship. It's been a long service. But how about we really just plug into the word of the Lord? Amen. My lovely wife, so glad she's here. My children, I'm excited about the kingdom of the Lord. Amen. Excited about the kingdom of the Lord. Genesis 1, verse number 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved. Everybody say moved. How about everybody say moved? The Spirit of the Lord moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. I want to preach to you tonight, with the help of the Holy Ghost. I know that I'm going to cover a lot of territory. And there's going to be a lot of Bible. And I know they say that sheep don't talk when they're eating. So if you're not talking, I'll just assume that you're just eating the word of the Lord. So amen. But I want to talk to you tonight about the power of an audible faith. The power of an audible faith. Would you put your Bibles down, grab the hand of your neighbor as appropriate. Let's just ask the Lord. Let's open our mouths. Let's exercise the authority that we've been given. Would you lift up your voice right now? Come on, we lifted it up in worship. We lifted it up in song. Why don't we lift it up in prayer? Would you pray the anointing of the Lord? Look, I'm telling you, anything can happen in this moment. Would you lift up a voice of authority? Praise the name of the Lord. I think there's a couple thousand dollars in there, so I'm watching you. I'm just kidding. If there was $1,000 in there, I'd have kept it on. Before you're seated, why don't you turn around to one or two people, ask them to borrow $20. Now, how many of you just found out how truly friendly those are around you? Did anybody give you $20? Lift your hands. That's what I thought. Lord, have mercy. Don't ask a Pentecostal for money. Amen. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. I am so honored to be here. I love this spirit I feel. And just so good to see what the Lord is doing in Birmingham, Trustville area. And I'm just excited about living for the Lord in the last days. Amen. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. I've discussed many times the intricate details, more probably than anything else that I have ever preached. I have spent a lot of time in the book of Genesis, and I have dealt with a lot that deals with the introductory period of time in which the Bible tells us that the picture that we are confronted with is a world. And the world that is there, the Bible says it is without form and void. Literally, that is translated that it is empty, desolate, waste. There is absolutely nothing that is capable of life. There is in the orb or the sphere the world that is there, there is the unrealized potential of what it could be. And yet it is covered
by water. And there the water, the Bible says, that over the face of the deep, which literally in the Hebrew is also waters, that it is covered in darkness. And I don't know exactly how permeable, how thick the darkness was at the time. But I do know, and there are some that believe that it was a spiritual, not only a physical, but also a spiritual darkness. And we know that as apostolics, that there is indeed something known as a spiritual darkness. And the Bible says that in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and darkness. And I'm glad when I read my Bible that it doesn't begin with verse number 2. That tells me that the earth was without form and void. But before I ever reach verse number 2, I'm confronted with the idea that before there's ever the idea of nothing, there is the idea of a God. I'm glad to know that when I come to the nothing of the word of the Lord, that shows me the unrealized potential of an earth, that in the beginning God, as long as there is a God, I said as long as there is a God in this place, it does not matter. Hey, I don't care how empty you came, how dark you came, what you've got going in your life. It does not matter. In the beginning, there is a God, and the God is here, and the God is present here right now. Oh, if you believe that, would you clap your hands unto the Lord? Clap your hands unto the Lord. Hallelujah. I am not begging for your participation that I might receive the accolades tonight, but I do want participation in clapping and participation in the verbal demonstration of faith. Because when something begins to happen, when the people begin to say yea and amen, when a preacher says that God is a healer, we ought to respond that God is indeed a healer. We ought to affirm that what the preacher said, that yes, God is a healer. We ought to say, oh, he is a healer. Well, why don't we test it for all the laid back folks? Let me put it this way. God is a healer. God is a deliverer. I still haven't convinced some of you. Why? Because when I say that I believe what God is, that initiates movement on my part. I don't know if you understand what this preacher is trying to say. When I say that God is a healer and you say, yes, he's a healer, we move in anticipation that we're about to be healed. It is not the affirmation alone that God is a healer, but what real faith is that when a preacher says that God can heal you, you don't just get up and say, yeah, he's a healer, and sit back down and go about your business. But when you hear that the Lord is a healer, you get out of your chair and say, oh, yes, he is, and I'm about to be healed. So does anybody believe that he is a healer? My God. Now, I could really, really get to where you live. If you can help me just a little bit. I love to hear myself to where I can't hear anybody else after. Amen. I'm going to get right where it is. You know, healing's great, but we really like money. Oh, that's all right. Some of you just perfect. It's amazing how quiet it gets when a preacher talks about money. I didn't even ask you for it, and you're already getting quiet. What if I was just going to give it to you? Bet you'd say something. My God. If I had a $100 bill in my pocket and said, who wants it? I guarantee you more than one would open their mouth and say, me. Then why is it when the Holy Ghost shows up and says, hey, eternal miracles, signs, wonders, if anybody wants it, let there be a verbal initiative and a movement towards me. I'm telling you, we've got to move towards God. And so I say, God is a provider. But we really don't believe that. Because if we believed what we said we believed, there would be anticipation for the reception of what we just said that God was. That is where faith is misaligned in Pentecost, is we talk all day long about what God is, but we don't move upon and show that we really believe that what we just acknowledge him to be is exactly what he is.
So if I were to say to somebody that is bound and captive that God is a healer and God is a deliverer, that is somebody that with anticipatory movement begins to strain against the bondage and the chains, because the preacher said, the word of God tells me that he is a deliverer, and any moment now I'm going to break free. I feel sometimes we need to practice. We need to practice with anticipation what we say that he is. Oh God, I really need my help to show up right now. If God is a healer, stop waiting around to worship. See, you still, like Brother Emery says, you still ain't hearing me. Says that 100 times while he's preaching. A lot of times it's true. You still ain't hearing me. We've gotten so used to just affirming what the preacher says that we have a hard time walking out and getting a hold of what the book says. My God. I believe in a service like this. I don't care what it is, cancer, you name it. I don't care what it is. If somebody would move and respond in faith, he could heal you tonight. I wish somebody would move in anticipation. I'm really setting the foundation for where I'm trying to go, because I feel like the Lord is trying to do something miraculous. I'm just going to be transparent. Can I just be me and be honest tonight? I watch how we worship in this place. Ain't nobody sitting still. Well, they start firing up them drums and that organ and that keyboard. Folks bust loose that don't ever move. Why is it when a preacher starts to preach, there's this idea that, you know, this is time to get reserved and set back and just hear a good thought? No, that's not what I'm here for. The preaching of the word of the Lord is to deliver them that hear the word. We ought to worship like we never worshiped. We ought to run the aisles like we've never run the aisles. We ought to shout. Hey. Was it the song that saved you? Was it the fire of the revival of that song that filled you with the Holy Ghost? No, but it was the preach word of the Lord. If it's the preaching of the word that saves you, we ought to dance and shout and praise when the preacher starts to preach. That's all right. I like to hear a tambourine while I preach. Why? Because the word of the Lord is precious. It's powerful. It's full of anointing. It can do what nothing else can do. You know, I love services where a preacher's got to tell everybody to settle down. My God. What would happen any moment now if somebody just believed that God is what he said he is? Somebody says, you know what? I don't care what anybody else says. That preacher told me the Bible says he's a healer. Whoa, he's a healer. I'm going to worship. That's what I'm talking about. We ought to be unashamed of the word of the Lord. I'm sorry. I don't want to act too apostolic tonight. I'm sorry. I don't want to act like I got the Holy Ghost. I don't want to act like I got the greatest party in the world living inside of me. Hey, they can run and shout and dance and scream at a football game. Hello. Well, preacher, whip us into a frenzy. I shouldn't have to tell you to do it. When football players walk onto the field, everybody stands. Jesus shows up. I don't feel like it. You think it felt like going to Calvary? You think he felt like having three nails shoved through his skin? You think he felt like feeling the whippet and the cords of that cat of nine tails? No. But I'm going to tell you, for the joy that was set before him, there ought to come a place and time in a Pentecostal church that we just lose control. Come on, exercise it. Shout, dance, praise. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. I got to preach. I'm sorry. I've been teaching right now. I got to teach now. So I got to talk to you. Bible says in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And Genesis tells us that in the beginning, the earth, the darkness, the physical disruption, the chaos, the messed up world, it is spinning out of order. It is dark, dreary, full of unrealized potential. And there is the idea that in the nothingness that is there, that God shows up. The Bible says the Spirit of the Lord moves. Somebody shout, moved. Here, Brother Haddon, tonight, it is possible to have a move of God and not leave changed. I don't want to just show up and say, wow, that felt good. I don't want another service where I walk out and say, oh, God really moved. If it doesn't change me, if it doesn't impact me, if it doesn't take addiction and leave it at an altar, if it doesn't take messed up worldliness, leave it at an altar. I know I'm going against some tradition right now, Pentecost, but I'm going to tell you, we need more than just a move of God. But something begins to happen when the move occurs. And the precipice is there. And the environment is set. The only reason the Spirit brooded over the face of the waters was in anticipation of the voice that was to follow. Every time the Spirit moves, we ought to incline our ear and say, okay, God, say it. Talk. Deliver. When God opens his mouth, hey, he moved a whole lot in the New Testament. But when the people came to him, they said there has to be a touch and there has to be a voice. And they said, Jesus, if you only but open your mouth and say it. I want God so bad tonight to open his mouth and speak things that are not as though they are. Hey, I need a miracle tonight. If I can just get God to open his mouth. And so, the three most powerful words. Can I just take my time tonight and preach? You promise about 30 minutes into this, you won't just go... We have a tendency to do that. It's hard sometimes. But here is this world, this earth, this idea of nothing. And I want to explain something to you about our God and nothing. The Bible says that nothing is impossible with God. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. We take that scripture incorrectly and apply it. We talk about healing. It's not impossible with God. And we talk about all these things. But what that scripture is declaring is that the idea of nothing is impossible with God. In other words, God goes through his dictionary and he doesn't have the word nothing. You got to get this. Nothing is impossible with God. So when the Lord looked at the earth in its nothingness, the unrealized potential, the darkness, the chaos, there's something in the nature of God that when he's confronted with the antithesis of what he is, the idea of nothing, something in him responds. I remember times with this concept that the devil would tell me, I'd feel it. Nothing is ever going to happen in your ministry. Nothing will ever happen in your life. I'm going to tell you something. When the devil says nothing, there is a God that says, wait a second. What is that? God does not comprehend nothing. And so they say to you, you know what? Nothing's ever going to happen in your family. Nothing's ever going to happen in your brother. Nothing's ever going to happen in your home. And God says, oh yeah? What is that? Watch me get a hold of nothing and turn it into something. I'm trying to convince somebody right now. I feel real comfortable. I hope you came to sweat that nice outfit out. I'm going to tell you, I hope you came tonight to get more than just a pretty message. I didn't come tonight just to give you something. I came to preach deliverance. I came to preach, oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. I come to preach it. Come here. So, says there's nothing. The devil pushes you in a corner and bullies you. Don't you hate that? After a while, it gets kind of old. But we do it every day. Some of us live on this concept that we're nothing. That we'll never amount to nothing. Well, you don't know my past, preacher. You don't know what I've been in. You don't know what I've done. You don't know who my parents are. And then we accept the idea of nothing. Oh, God. But there is something that begins to occur when somebody comes to God and says, Lord, I'm nothing. Oh, God. And the divine nature of what God is says, what? What's that? What is nothing? Well, it's the idea of no potential. It's the idea of emptiness. It's the idea of just covering in chaos. And God says, no. Watch what I can do with nothing. Oh, God in heaven. God understands. The only way to take nothing and turn it into something is to take that which is greater. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Regardless of what the world is saying, regardless of the nothing in your life, the only way that nothing can become something is by the introduction of everything. Am I making sense right now? And so God looks at nothing. I'm just going to preach right now, if that's okay. I just feel like taking my time, so I hope you brought some popcorn and have your drink. We're going to have a Holy Ghost party tonight. So God looks at nothing. God's not concerned. God's not bothered. Well, God, that's a mighty big world. That's a mighty big earth. It's real deep, covered in darkness. God doesn't see what can't happen. He sees what he can do. Let me put it to you this way. Lord, you can't use anything I got. I don't have anything to give. He doesn't look at what you don't have. He looks at what he can give you. My God in heaven. Well, I can't talk well. I can't sing. I can't do this. I can't do that. Stop focusing on your nothing. Hey, they're just ignorant fishermen. Aren't those just fishermen preaching the name of Jesus? Yes, because he can take the uneducated, the unlearned, the backdrop of humanity and turn them into power. Why don't we just open our mouth for a moment? I want you to lift up your voice right now. Oh, please lift up your voice. Oh, I need something. Hakatala mora katala baha. Hiolo boki arabaha shatala baha roka. There's something trying to happen in this place right now. And God looks at nothing and says, I got to take something that is nothing and turn it into something. And so he introduces the only thing capable of taking nothing and making it into something. A zero to a hero. So you didn't grow up in that era. See, we talk to girls like that. Drop the zero. Don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about. See, y'all got new little lines. They don't even work. All you single guys got your lines. See, it ain't working for you. You know, ask this guy. I remember one time. Hey, let's just have a good time. I remember one time, a little brother, I don't know what he was thinking, walked up to a girl and says, he said, you think you the Big Mac, but you really just the Tic Tac. I said, congratulations. You have just officially entered into the book of don't touch. Lord, help us tonight. I'm about to have to really pray a prayer of help. I just feel good tonight. I feel good in the Holy Ghost. I want to ask you a question tonight. God takes nothing, turns it into something. I love all you people that stand with me. I just really feel like it's not just me tonight. Takes nothing. And the Bible says that God opens his mouth and says, let there be light. I got a question for you. What was the light on day number one if the light was not created, the sun, the moon, and the stars, until day number four? John chapter 1 gives us a parallel of the creation account. And John says in the idea of creation, he says, in the beginning, there was the Word. He says, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That word, Word, just stay with me. That word, Word, was Logos, which literally means the thought, concept, or idea of what God was. So if I were to take that scripture and reapply it, it literally says this. In the beginning was the thought, concept, and idea of God, and it was God. It was in the mind of God. And what was in the mind of God, it was God, the thought, concept, or idea. My question to you then is, what then was the thought, concept, or idea? Because I can think something all day long, and it never impacts your world until I open my mouth and speak what is here. When I open my mouth and speak what's here, it reveals what's here. So in the beginning was a thought, concept, or idea of God. It was in the mind of God, and it was God. And then the creation account tells us, in the beginning there was the heavens, the earth created by God, and God said. Here is God revealing what he is to the world, the nothingness and the darkness that is there. And God says, let there be light. In simplest terms, what that literally is telling us, that God said, let me take nothing and introduce something that can change it and remake it and recreate it. And what that was God. Yeah. I don't know. Okay, next verse. Go ahead, next verse. Four. Follow, hurry. And God saw the light, and it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. I go to John chapter 1. I want you to follow with me. I'm going to show you something that's going to take you to another level tonight. In the beginning was the Word. Thought, concept, or idea of God. It was in the mind of God. It was God. God articulated what it was in Genesis chapter 1. Sun, the moon, and the stars weren't there. And he said, me. Hi, God. He said, I got to take dismal failure. Messed up chaos, darkness, and turn it into something that can cater to life. Oh, God. See, you don't understand this. The reason God hadn't introduced his spirit before the sun, the moon, and the stars, everything else, is because contrary to photosynthesis and all that plant creation does, is I don't care if the sun's shining. If there is no God, if there is no light of his spirit and what he is, it's not going to grow, because the whole earth groaneth. The whole earth is intricately tied to what happened on Genesis chapter 1. Next verse, 2. And the same was in the beginning with God. We know we're not talking about Jehovah Jr. We're not talking about a second person of the Trinity. We're talking about the one God. 1 John tells us that God is light. And in him dwells no darkness at all. There's no shadow of turning. God can take a complete 360 turn. And there's nothing to eclipse and come between him. Oh God. There's no greater body that can come between his light and create a shadow. Listen to me. If he shows up, we cast a shadow because we are lesser beings. He doesn't have a shadow. My God. Because a shadow is a form of an absence of light. Oh God, I'll preach. Next verse. All things were made by him. Oh, yeah. All things were made by him, the light. Without him was not anything made that was made. In other words, everything made beyond Genesis chapter 1 into the days of creation, none of that was made without the presence of the Spirit of the Lord. You cannot have addition and creation without the Spirit of multiplication. Oh, I don't know. Do I need an interpreter? I don't know. Some of you staring at me kind of blank right now. I'm really not trying to sound intelligent tonight. I'm just trying to give you a revelation of what God is in you. Let's go ahead. Everybody say yes.
Yes.
Everybody say yes.
Yes.
Is everybody here?
Yes.
Brother Haddon loves you. Nobody said no. All right, here we go. In him was life.
Oh, God.
And the life was what? The light of man. Next verse. And the light.
Oh, God in heaven. I get so excited.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Covered the earth. And God said the only way to get rid of darkness is to introduce me. And God said, let there be me. And the light shined in darkness. And darkness put his hands in his pocket and said, who do you think you are? This is my place. No. The word comprehend used here is literally could not stand against. Introduction of light and darkness says, pff.
See ya.
How many of you like cockroaches? You don't like cockroaches? People are eating them in New York now. I'm not kidding you. They have a gourmet cockroach deal. They eat bugs. You ain't gonna try it? What if a missionary asked you to? Don't go on the mission field. They're eating cockroaches now. Anyways, let me hurry up. I'm having such a good time. I feel the Holy Ghost. Whoosh. You about to see a fat guy move. Why are you laughing? I'm not fat. It's not nice. Don't laugh at the fat guy. That's why I got these on. See, all these young guys think they're cool with theirs because they're skinny and can wear them. If I don't wear them, I'm in trouble. So are you. No Holy Ghost will be moving then. You'd be praying for darkness. God help us. Oh, God, I'm sorry. I just come out of the world. I don't know how to be any better than many, but I just don't. I wish I was refined as some of y'all and could say all the right things and look all, you just never mess up. Oh, God. And so God speaks this and he opens it up. Well, let's talk about cockroaches. Man, I want to talk about cockroaches. You ever step on one? Crunch. Man, it's bad. It's like one of those peanut butter filled pretzels. See, I step on those because I drop them when I eat them. When I step on them, that's good food, and you got to... No, I'm just kidding. You know, there's an amazing thing about creatures of the night, that the moment light occurs, they're gone. And see, we give the devil so much credit, the rulers of the power and the darkness and the principalities of the air and all this stuff, and we say, oh, God, wow, they're so big and they're so wow. But if you just turn on a light, I haven't convinced some of you. Let me move on. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Next verse. The same character. Now I want you to read this with me because it's powerful. John is talking about in the beginning the Logos, the thought, concept, idea of God. Genesis 1 says, and God said. Here's what it is. This is what I am. John, 1 John says, God is light. In him there's no darkness at all. Bible talks about in Revelation that when we come to New Zion, it says that there is going to be no sun there, but there's going to be no need of a light because he is going to light. He is the light. And here we have this idea, and all of a sudden John says, hey, I'm going to talk to you about that which was in the beginning. So he talks about the light shining in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. Now John's going to go a little deeper and tell us what the light was. He's talking about here's what it is. And here John has come to reveal what Christ is. So let's read that. The same came for witness, to bear witness of what? The light. What light? The light that was from the beginning. He said, I'm coming to tell you about the very thing that created the heavens, the earth, the moon, the stars, everything that was in the beginning that took nothing and created into something. That's the God that I've come to talk to you about. Now, if you're John, you are an ambassador of what created what you're standing on. Oh, God. You are telling people that are nothing, that are ruined, that are covered in darkness. Let me tell you about the beginning. Oh, let me tell you about the very thing that took nothing and took darkness and turned it into something. Now, I asked everybody not to plateau on me. I feel like some of you are starting to plateau. Don't plateau. Come on, don't plateau. I'll step on your toe. And the Bible says, and come bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. Next verse. And he was not that light. John was not that light. That light, that light, that light. What light? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God. And it was with God. It was in the mind of God. And God said, here is what I am. Now, I want to take you in really quick. I really got to build this foundation. I know that I'm taking a little time to do this, but we got to get this sink in because as Pentecostals, we don't understand what we really have. We wouldn't wake up in the morning and feel depressed and messed up and just put our hands in our pocket and soak all day long if we really knew what was here. Every time that God appeared in the Old Testament, I want you to catch this. Every time that God revealed himself to man in the Old Testament, the Bible shows that darkness was his pavilion. It tells us that he hid himself behind the clouds. It says in the tabernacle that he was behind the veil. And so every time that God appears, he covers what he is by something else in order for man to approach him. That is what happens when Moses goes up to the top of the mountain. And he says, oh, I want one thing from you. Will you show me your glory? Now, that'll preach all day long. The only thing he could have asked for, miracles, signs, and wonders, and the promised land at that point. But the only thing he was interested in was the glory of God. When's the last time we came into church and said, I don't care about my miracle. I don't care about my money. I don't care about this or that. All that I want tonight is the glory of God to reveal itself to me. Turn your neighbor, high five them and say, you're still awake. No, you got to do that a little louder because you're starting to scare me. Please just hear me. I really want to bring this home. Please don't check out on me. I'm going to deliver something to you. This, to me, the most powerful revelation God's ever given me. So please just stay with me. Hallelujah. And so Moses goes to the top of the mountain and he says, God, all I want to see is your glory. That's all I want. Will you please show me your glory? Don't pass me by. I just want to see something of you. And God says, okay, sure. I'll show you my glory, but I can't show you all that I am. I'll give you a glimpse of what I am. But he says, you got to hide in the cleft of the rock, and I'm going to put my hand over the cleft, and I'll let you see it. I almost view that scripture as he's saying, I'll do this right here. And the Bible says that the glory of the Lord passed before Moses. He saw the hinder parts of God. Now you can take that and do whatever you want with it. But the rabbinical writers literally believe that what it's talking about is the shadow of the Lord, and that they present that even the shadow of God itself is light. Because there is no darkness in God. Oh, God. God doesn't have to stay in one place for you to know that he has been there. And Moses comes down from the mountain, and he has just seen the glory of God. And he comes down, and what is happening to his face? My God in heaven. He saw a glimpse of the glory. And the people are seeing a glimpse of the glimpse. Oh, God. Oh, God, you got to help me right now. I'm talking about the most powerful thing on earth. There ain't no Hollywood star. There ain't no football player that's bigger than this. Hey, Brad Pitt can't touch this. Oh, I'm sorry. You don't know who that is. Liars. So holy. I love y'all. I'm having a good time with the Holy Ghost. And so he comes down from the mountain, the glimpse. Boy, it sounds good out here. He comes down from the mountain, and he sees the glimpse of the, and the people see the glimpse of the glimpse. The glimpse of the glimpse that he saw is so bright that the people can't even handle to see it. Can I present to you why the people couldn't handle the glimpse of the glimpse? Because just prior to them seeing the light of what God was on the face of Moses, they had said, we don't want to hear his voice. When you don't want to hear the voice, you'll never be interested in his manifestation. Well, I like to worship. Oh, I like to, see, it's like a roly-poly. I like to juke and jive. I like to come to church and feel the Holy Ghost. But I don't want to hear a preacher. I don't want Brother Sutton to tell me how to live and how to interpret the word of the Lord. I don't want the preacher. I just want the worship. When we're not interested in the voice, when a true manifestation of his glory shows up, we are not in the condition to receive it. I want somebody to understand this. That is why preaching is so important. That is all connected to the moving of the Holy Ghost in Genesis chapter 1 that prepared the way for the voice. The voice was the creative act. What God said was the creative instrument. It wasn't just the goosebumps. It wasn't, wow, I feel good. You want to see a manifestation of God? You do what you're doing right now. You're listening to the voice of God. My God. When you respond to the word, I'm talking to somebody right now. When you respond to the word, God will entrust you with manifestation. But if you sit there and say, no, I don't want that. Do not come to an altar expecting a miracle. Why would God reveal himself to those that don't want to hear him? My God. Because God is about order and direction, and when God appears, he always sends somebody before him. Listen, Jesus, light, logos, concept of God came into the earth. And I'm getting, kind of getting ahead. But before he came, he had to have a voice that prepared. Because the people cannot receive the manifestation without the preparation of a preacher that says, I've come to prepare the way of the Lord. It is my opinion that the greatest moves of the Holy Ghost can come in the middle of a service like this, where revelation is being produced and people are listening like you're doing, saying, talk to me, God. I want to hear the voice of the Lord. And when we begin to listen to the Lord and the Word of God, there's a prepared way that begins to open up. And then God shows up and says, I'm the manifestation of what the preacher was telling you about. Amen. Bible talks about confirming the word with signs and wonders following. I believe that when John came on the earth, he began to talk about, there cometh one after me whose shoes or sandals I'm unworthy to unlatch. He said, hey, I'm the greatest of the old. I'm the greatest of the law. I'm the greatest of the old things. But listen to me, there's coming one. I'm baptizing under repentance, but there cometh one after me. I can't touch his shoes. What that means is I'm not even worthy to wash his feet as a slave in a home, but he's going to come and he's going to baptize you, not just with what I'm doing, but with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Clap your hands unto the Lord. Thank him for the word of God. Hallelujah. I don't know how long I've been. How long have I been? Somebody tell me. I know some of you check your clocks. Not going to tell me, huh? All right, it's your fault. So he says, here, I'm going to come bear witness. Now watch this. God appears and Moses comes down from the mountain. I'm going to hurry up because I know some of you are getting tired, but I'm standing too. And Moses comes down from the mountain. He has just been in the presence of God. And his face is reflecting what he saw. Now, I don't know about you, but that's powerful to me. People ought to know when we come from a red hot prayer meeting. People ought to know when we come out of an apostolic, red hot, real church service. They ought to, when we walk out, say, my God, what is all over you? Problem is, as Pentecostals, we don't manifest what he is too much. We talk about him, but we don't manifest what he is. When's the last time you just walked into a store and somebody said, I need you to pray for me? Oh, well, you know, that's kind of crazy, Brother Haddon, is it? I believe if we operated and lived and walked in the Spirit, I believe that we could walk into places and just, oh, I feel doubt. I'll tell you a story about a man, a guy named Danny Aber. I don't know if you know him. Guy wrote a book. He's an incredible soul winner. He talks about one time he walked into a grocery store, and he said he was walking through there, and he had prayed. He prayed. Here's what happened to him. When he got out of the world, he had lost a lot of friends to the devil. So when he came in, he said, you know what, devil? Every morning he woke up and said, you know what? You took three. I'm going to take five. Every day he woke up and said, hey, devil, five more. I'm going to get me five. I remember a story told one time. He said he walked into a Walmart grocery store, and he said he was walking down the chip aisle. So he was walking down the chip aisle, and something in his spirit said stop, and he turned, and he looked, and he said there was this big old burly dude that tattoos all over. He had a little uniform on. He was stacking Lay's potato chips. Now, most of us would look at the big old burly biker dude and say, no. He going to rob me. I mean, a man that deals with potato chips, either real mad or real fed. And he said that he walked by and he said something stopped him. So he walked down the aisle and he went and he stood in front of the guy and he said, I don't know why I'm here. He said, but I just felt like I need to come over here. That's it. And the guy broke down in tears. And he said, I feel something. He said, sir, you don't understand this. He said, but I had just asked God that if you don't show me that you're real, I'm going to leave this job right now and I'm going to take a 45 and I'm going to blow my brains out. My God. And that man looked at him and said, well, sir, God is real. He said, in fact, let me tell you about the Holy Ghost. He started giving him a little 3-minute Bible study right there in the Lay's chip aisle. Big old guy. People, I'm going to tell you, you go into America, the chip aisle is the busiest aisle in the world. Ha. People walking by left and right. And because one man was willing to manifest what God was, he stood in front of suicide and said, no, 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 no. Let me tell you about the Holy Ghost. He said, he looked at that man and he said, will you lift your hands? He laid hands on him in the name of Jesus in a Walmart aisle, and the man began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. I'm telling you, we've got a power. Musicians, come, 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 come. Just the players, no singers, just the players. I want to juke and jive for a moment. I got to give you hope. I'm almost done. I feel the Holy Ghost. Is this all right? Does anybody feel what I feel right now? And Moses saw the glimpse of what God was. And the people said, don't, we can't see it. Veil it. And so here we have John that's there. And he was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. Next verse. Verse 9. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Go to verse 14. Now I want you to catch this, verse 14. And the word, what is the word? The thought, concept, or idea of what God is. Light. Boom. And light became flesh. I've convinced some of you. And dwelt among us. Every time in the Old Testament that God appeared to somebody, he veiled what he was behind something. Hebrews says the flesh was the veil of Christ. Watch. Parenthetical. Somebody say parenthetical. Parenthetical. Sounds intelligent. Parenthetical phrase. John felt like it was really important to explain to you what that really meant about the word becoming flesh. What did Moses ask to see? What did he see? He saw a glimpse of the glory because he couldn't see it all. God says, look, Moses, you're living in a time I can't reveal everything that I am, but I'll show you a little bit of my glory. And he comes down, light shining in his face because he saw what God was. And then John says, he's talking about the light from the beginning. I've come to bear witness of the light. And then he says, the word, logos, thought, concept, idea, light was made flesh. Hebrews says the veil is the flesh of Christ. Light was veiled in the flesh. Parenthetical phrase. And we, somebody say me, beheld his glory. Hey, Moses, what you wanted to see in whole, you saw in part. But Colossians says that in him, Christ, was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Listen to me. Moses saw a glimpse. Jesus shows up and says, this is all of it. When we saw Jesus, we beheld. Bible says that when we saw him, we were beholding the glory of God. And the scripture says in his face. Moses revealed him in his face. Oh God, I feel the Holy Ghost. I'm closing. I don't think some of us get this yet. Pharaoh was withstood by the face. Bible says through the fire, face. Moses or Pharaoh couldn't move because the face. I'm going to tell you something. There's something to be said when we look into the face of God. Because the Bible says we look into a glass darkly. Oh, God. And we are changed. From what? From glory to glory. What is the glass? It's the mirror. What is the mirror? James says it's the Word of God. What is the Word of God? It's the Logos. What is the Logos? It is light. My God. Psalm said, thy word is a lamp unto my path. Thy word is a lamp, a light. When I start to speak the word, there is light. When I walk in the spirit, I am walking in the light. The Bible says that we are to cast off the works of darkness because we've come out of that. And we are now children of what? Children of the day. One more thing. I got to hurry. I really am closing. I'm not going to lie to you. Bible talks about that we have become children of the day. The Bible then says in Ephesians that we are to put on Christ. They then reveal to us what we're to put on. Have you heard of the armor? The Bible calls the armor the light, the light, the armor of light. Why? Because when I hide what he is in here, there's an external manifestation of what he is out here. I may have gone too long. I don't know. There's one thing that darkness cannot do to light. It's darkness can never penetrate light. My God. You turn a light on, darkness. Our problem is we don't live and walk in the Spirit. If the Spirit is light, we don't live and walk in light. The Bible says, walk in light as he is in the light. So where am I going? Here's where I'm going.
We may close our Bibles and go to McDonald's. Whatever.
I preach what the Lord told me to preach. I'm trying to get a revelation across. What then did you receive? You didn't just receive an inferior, lower spirit. See, we get uncomfortable equating what we have with what was in the man Christ Jesus. I told you. Well, you know, he ain't gonna share his glory with nobody, does he? We're changed from glory to glory. If we become joint heirs with him, that means he shares everything. Because the one great thing about being a son is we always show people and look like our daddy. See, my boy's going to grow up, and he already does. I think it's the coolest thing. My genes are stronger. I have usurped the Bertram gene. I'm a man. But see, here's what's happening. People walk by and say, that's your boy, isn't it? I say, how do you know? He looks like you. When we get the Holy Ghost, there's a new man. I remember getting the Holy Ghost. I remember coming out of crystal meth addiction. I remember the first time I walked into the crack hood neighborhood that I hung out in. And I went and knocked on the door of a buddy named Ron. I said, boom, 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 boom. He opened the door and said, hey. And he stopped and he said, whoa. I'm not kidding. He said, what happened? I didn't even say nothing. He said, what happened? I said, oh, you ain't going to believe this. I'm telling you, I was out. So you ain't gonna believe this. I said, I got the Holy Ghost. I said, what's that? Is that like in a movie? I said, no. I said, Ron, I'm gonna tell you, man, there's this thing called the Holy Ghost. And when you get it, I'm gonna tell you right now, you leave, you ain't even the same man you were. Thank God I don't talk like I used to talk. I don't walk like I used to walk. If it wasn't for the Lord, where would I be? My life was nothing until he set me free. What a change. Oh, that's all right. You don't have to sing with me. Leave a brother by himself. Said, I thank God I don't walk like I used to walk. I don't talk like I used to talk. Why? Because now I'm reflecting. So let me bring it to a close. We get the Holy Ghost. Here's what you got. I know I'm going long. I'm sorry, brother, but Brother Sutton gonna be so mad at me. My goodness. You say, Brother Haddon, stay in Bessemer. Go read a long book. I can't preach this short. I just can't. See, we need to hear revelation. So all of a sudden the Bible says that they're in the upper room the day of Pentecost. Why are they there? Because they have no authority. They have no witness. They have nothing that they can possibly give to the kingdom. At that point in time, they are in darkness. They are nothing. They don't have anything. They can't do anything. They know them, but that's it. And God says, you know what? The only way to take nothing and turn it into something is to introduce me. And so the Bible says, Luke sitting there, and he says, oh, great Theophilus, here's what I'm going to tell you about and all. Acts 1 and 8, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost. Some of y'all just looking around, you're bored. Please just stick with me for 5 minutes. And Luke's sitting there, and he says, all of a sudden, I heard a sound come from heaven like, everybody say like a rushing, can you get that on there somewhere? Acts 2, somewhere around there. Oh, now. I don't got it. Acts 2. Everybody say, oh, my darling. Anybody know it by heart? Would you say it? Boy, y'all really need to slow down. Okay. Read it together with me. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place, one accord, one place. Next verse. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of. It never says it was, but it says it sounded like. Daniel said, when I heard the voice of God, it sounded like a whole lot of thunder. John the Revelator said, when I heard the voice of God, it sounded like a whole lot of water. And now we have this idea. I heard a sound. That word sound is phone, where you get your word phone. Hello. And Luke says, I heard something. And the only way I can describe what I heard was it sounded like this. Can I submit to you that what was happening in the day of Pentecost was God recreating what had been messed up? He was going to introduce himself into it. How did he introduce himself into nothing the first time? He opened his mouth and said, let there be light. Boom! And Luke said, I heard a sound. Sound, phone, can literally mean a voice. And the voice that I heard sounded like a lot of wind. Literally, shofar, the blowing of air through a horn. Why? What happened? I believe that God opened his mouth and said, I'm going to introduce myself into them. I'm going to take nothing and turn them into everything. Let's stand. Let's stand. So here we are. I've gone a long way to try to say what I meant to say. And suddenly, there came a voice from heaven, a sound, and it filled the house that they were sitting in. Next verse. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like, shout like. I want you to get this. Luke said, the only way I can describe what I saw was like a bunch of fire. He was explaining the introduction of light. All of a sudden, I heard a voice, a sound, and the place lit up. And there was sitting on people like a whole lot of light, fire. Why? Because God introduced what he was into us. That is why the Bible says we become children of the day. The Bible says that he called us out of what? Darkness into his marvelous light. Why? To show forth the praises. Show forth. Not just our hands in our pocket. What up? But you don't know like I know what he's done for me. Oh, you don't know like I know. Why? Because when I got the Holy Ghost, I was filled with the creative light, and I've got the authority to speak the power of light. So I'm going to close, and we're going to do something right now. Hey, don't worry, I've done this before. I've flown an airplane before. I crashed, though. I'm just kidding, I never have. But we're about to take a trip. And we're about to give the devil a black eye. We're about to rear back and do a roundhouse kick. Pop. Right in his face. Why? Because we're about to get a revelation of what's here. You are about to get a revelation that your prayer ain't just a prayer. That your worship ain't just worship. You're about to get a revelation that when you open your mouth, you begin to speak things as though they are. You have the ability of a creative light that can take nothing and make it into something. Hey, that's why somebody with the Holy Ghost can look at cancer and say, you don't exist in the name of Jesus, and cancer fall off. Bible talks about a few times, Psalms 150, they mention it. Get it on the screen. This is my last thing, Psalms 150. Here we go. Psalms 150. Where's my preaching help over there? Come on, man. You. My shoes ain't shine. Psalms 150, praise you, the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Next verse. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. You feel what I feel? Hey, there's a confirmation of the Holy Ghost in this place. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to excellent greatness. Next verse. Just follow. Go. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and the harp. Go. Praise him with timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instrument and organs. Next. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. God gave humanity one thing no other creature on earth has the ability to do, is to articulate. Oh, God, help me. You ain't going to walk into a zoo and hear a bear say, hey, baby. You're not going to walk in and see a giraffe say, hey, could you hand me that tree? He didn't give the other creatures of the world the ability to communicate what they are. Articulation translates as authority. That is why when Adam created or named every animal, that was him placing by vocal demonstration, when I name you, you're under me. So watch this. Psalms 150. Everything that is mentioned have one thing in common. You ready?
I'm ready.
Well, some of you ain't ready. You ain't ready for this. You can't handle this. Ain't nobody got time for that. Oh, God, I need help. I'm a mental patient. I just got too much Holy Ghost in me. You ready? Look at what everything that they have in common. Stop. Play that thing. Stop. You ain't, man. We need a brother up on that thing. Play.
it, man.
Okay. You bad to the bones. You proved your point. Play. Just do something cool. He goes through, praise him with a string instrument, praise him with this. Every one of those has one thing in common, and that word is noise. Well, I don't believe in making noise in church. I don't feel like all that stuff's necessary. Listen, honey, you want to be quiet. You can go when you die, lay 6 feet on the ground. You'll never make a noise again.
Whoa. Everybody say, whoa. Whoa.
The first time, have you ever heard shout with a voice of triumph? I'm sorry, I'm going so long, I got to quit, but there's something trying to happen in this place. Shout with a voice of triumph. The first time the word triumph appears, the children of Israel are standing in front of the altar of burnt offering. They've never yet seen God except an atonement sacrifice. And God said, when I do this, if the fire falls, that means life for another year. And they're standing waiting in anticipation. All of a sudden the Bible says fire fell. Everybody say fire fell. And the Bible says, and the people shouted. That is the first time in the Hebrew the word triumph appears. That is where it comes from. Why? Because when they saw the fire fall, they recognized, I have life for another year. Let everything that hath breath. If you have life, you have a responsibility to open your mouth and make some noise. Dead people can't do it, but we can. We've been given the resurrecting power of the Holy Ghost. What happened on the day of Pentecost? The only thing that they could do with the reintroduction of life, and the light was the life of men that shineth into the hearts of every man, and they opened their mouth and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. Why? Because they were quickened in the Spirit. I'm going to get called Mark Morgan, Two Tape Morgan tonight. So here's where we are. We got to get this. And I'm done. I promise you.
Oh, God.
Is this okay tonight? Has anybody learned something tonight? You got the Holy Ghost. Lift your hands. Don't be ashamed. See, I like how you did it. Stop trying to be a fit-in chameleon. How many got the Holy Ghost? Lift your hands. Oh, oh, we about to have a bass player. Oh, I hope there's a bass up there. Well, see, I can't play the instruments. I can't play the keyboard. I can't play this. I can't do that. I can't even sing. God says, okay, I didn't let you off. Because it's the responsibility of the living to make noise. Every Friday night, this world turns up the bass. They turn up the music. Why? Because they want to try to convince everybody around them that they're alive. But that's why I hate dead, dry, boring church that when we leave, nobody says a word. But we have been given a responsibility because what we have in us is the Spirit of light. And we can look things in the face and say, you know what? I know the devil said nothing. But in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Look, you don't always have to have a preacher pray for you to have a miracle. There is something that begins to happen.